You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The First Lady and I have just traveled 8,000 miles around the globe to deliver a message to every citizen across this nation. America loves India. America respects India. And America will always be faithful and loyal friends to the Indian people. The life of Prime Minister Modi underscores the limitless promise of this great nation. He started out by his father's side as a chihuahua, a tea seller. When he was a young man, he worked at a cafeteria in this city. Stand up. Everybody loves him, but I will tell you this, he's very tough.
U.S. President Donald Trump embarked on a whirlwind 36-hour trip to India earlier this week in a highly publicized media spectacle which involved red carpets, stadium crowds of up to 100,000 people, and palace tours. He also met with Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi. As this was happening, the capital New Delhi experienced a rise in violence after the months of protests against a bill ushered through by Modi's government, which explicitly excludes Muslims from a path to citizenship. News outlets have suggested that this is a reaction to Trump's own Muslim ban and Islamophobic rhetoric. As Trump visits, India is facing the lowest economic growth rate in more than a decade. Although India has the most Trump towers outside of the US, many of them remain empty. The polls are never cleaned, sales have slowed, and buyers rarely visit. As the earlier clip exemplifies, the two right-wing populist leaders appear to get along well, confirming a $3 million arms deal in which the US will sell a fleet of military helicopters to India. Previously, the US was more allied with the Pakistani Kashmir, and during the Cold War, Russia was the main supplier of weapons to India. I had a chat with Robert Patman, who is the head of the International Relations School at the University of Otago. He speaks on nationalism, the history of US foreign policy, and what the seemingly bizarre and overly showy state visit might represent. Could you give a quick overview of what happened during Trump's visit to India?
It was the first visit of Mr. Trump to India, his first state visit to the country, and it certainly had good optics for both leaders. Mr. Trump, I think, wanted to project himself in election year as being very popular overseas, and thousands of people turned out to see him in India, and for Mr. Modi, who's got his own domestic problems at the moment, it was also a good time to connect with someone. They've certainly seemed to see eye to eye. They're both populist leaders, both controversial. And I think it was, from that point of view, in terms of domestic politics of both countries, it was a good meeting to have. And there were also some items that I think Mr. Trump wanted to address in his meeting with Mr. Modi on the trade front and also on the strategic partnership front.
So why might the US be interested in India now, given America's relative hostility during the Cold War, etc.? Is this part of a wider realignment of policy in the region?
Since 1991, India has embarked upon the process of economic liberalization, which has transformed its economy. So India had one of the fastest growing economies in the world, consistently growing between 6 and 7% since 1991. And as a result, India has emerged as a rising power. And if its trajectory continues, then it could be one of probably third or fourth most powerful country in the world in the not too distant future. It's got a huge population and potentially a huge market for exporters. And so I think it's against that backdrop that the relationship between India and the United States has steadily improved. And, of course, the post-Cold War environment has helped that. So against that, after 9/11, the United States intensified its relationship with Pakistan, which was a frontline state to Afghanistan. And there are deep bilateral problems between Pakistan and India. So that's always been a little bit of a impediment to improving the relationship. But there seems to be renewed momentum in the relationship. And Mr. Trump has certainly put a lot of emphasis. He went out of his way during his visit to India to praise Mr. Modi's leadership. He said he's a calm person, a great leader, and someone who works for his people. And, of course, Mr. Modi will take these compliments quite happily. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's the relationship's had its ups and downs, but overall, to answer your question, it's been on the steady upgrade since the end of the Cold War. At times it's been interrupted by America's need for maintaining a strategic partnership with a traditional adversary of India, which is Pakistan. But there now seems to be a renewed push again.
I guess that's the significance of the visit being so showy and highly publicised, like the massive stadium, 100,000 people. I guess that relates to that. Next question, explain the violence and the protests in India. They've kind of increased during Trump's visit. How are they connected?
Well, the Indian Prime Minister, Mr. Modi, has been under the spotlight recently due to his controversial decision to revoke the autonomy of Kashmir, the part of Kashmir that India controls, which is Muslim majority in content. And he also has been making changes to the citizenship laws of India. And this has resulted in quite a lot of controversy. And while Mr. Trump visited the country, there was real communal violence. And Mr. Trump came down on the side of Mr. Modi, praising his approach to give everybody what he called equal citizenship, or words to that effect. And he applauded in particular what he called Mr. Modi's efforts for religious freedom. But, you know, while Mr. Trump was in the country, there was considerable violence between groups of Hindu and Muslim men. We ought to remember that Mr. Modi is a Hindu nationalist, and there is a perception within the country that the traditional secular status of India has been somewhat compromised by Mr. Modi's partisan Hindu nationalist approach. And certainly during Mr. Trump's visit, there were violent confrontations between groups of Hindu and Muslim citizens, and culminating in rioting, which left about 27 people dead. So there's some considerable problems there. And, you know, Mr. Trump and Mr. Modi have both been seen as divisive figures in their respective countries. And I suppose those people in India worried about Mr. Modi's direction in terms of whether he's undermining India as a secular country may have been incensed by Mr. Trump's visit, because Mr. Trump has, you know, been quite controversial in his criticisms of Islam and Muslims generally internationally. So that may have been a bit of a spark for problems.
So is a Trump-Modi alliance dangerous?
I think there's quite a few obstacles before you can describe it as... I think they both are quite transactional politicians. I think what we have to take into account here is that both Mr. Modi and Mr. Trump, while they may have they're both nationalists, and that does have the potential, I think, for problems. There are differences, particularly over trade, which, you know, the thing about nationalists is that their alliances are often only tactical. Because, after all, if Mr. Trump's slogan is America first, then Mr. Modi's slogan is probably India first. So I don't know how much, you know, such countries can really have a true alliance. It won't be but neither side would see it as an alliance of equals, because it seems to conflict with their nationalist ideology. Having said that, the China factor looms large. Both countries, India and the United States, are quite worried about China, and they believe that their strategic partnership, they called it, quote, a comprehensive global strategic partnership between the United States and India, is important. And they both speak about the importance of maintaining security in the Indo-Pacific region. They don't call, whereas China prefers to call the region the Asia-Pacific region. And yeah, so in that sense, I think Mr. Trump was hoping, and here his expectations were partly fulfilled, that there will be closer strategic cooperation and a number of defense agreements signed. India, it was confirmed during Mr. Trump's visit that India is now buying attack helicopters and other U.S. military equipment worth $3 billion. And it's the military relationship between India and the United States has been steadily developing. They've also, both sides, stressed the need to build what they see as secure 5G networks, digital networks. And that's a bit of a swipe at China, and particularly because Huawei, a Chinese company, have, you know, a global edge in this technology. And I think that worries both India and the United States.
So is Trump's, because I've seen Trump is sort of sympathetic to other nationalist leaders, like Hungary's leader apparently and the Philippines leader. Is that part of the strategy for its nationalist foreign policy?
Yeah, I mean, but we've got to keep a sense of proportion here. Mr. Trump, he believes that America's power, making America great again, or America first, is best served through bilateral diplomacy. And looked at through that lens, he will have a number of countries that he believes are very important to the United States. India is one of them, because it's a strategic counterweight to a rival to the United States. A rival that the United States is most sensitive to, which is China, which is the second most powerful country in the world. And Mr. Trump, because of his focus on bilateralism, and also his belief in nationalism, is sympathetic to governments such as Mr. Johnson's government in the UK and Mr. Urbain's government in Hungary. He does support other populist leaders. How far that support goes, I think, is difficult to evaluate, not least because Mr. Trump is a very mercurial leader who's quite capable of changing his mind rapidly. For example, he's gone out of his way in the past to praise Boris Johnson, but they've now had a big tiff, apparently, a big argument.
Have they?
Yes, because Britain apparently will be accepting 5G technology from Huawei, something that New Zealand appears not to be doing. And the Trump administration felt let down about this. First of all, they had publicly supported Mr. Johnson in his bid for power in the UK. And Mr. Johnson succeeded, won the election there. And I think probably one of the returns the Americans expected was for the British to be more receptive to American ideas with respect to rejecting China's 5G technology. And the British responded by saying, I'm sorry, Mr. President, what's the alternative? What's the better alternative? And they were not satisfied by Mr. Trump's responses. So they've not only had an argument, but Mr. Trump has now announced, in light of that difference of opinion, that he's putting a free trade agreement with the EU ahead of the one with the UK. And of course, all the Brexit leadership in Britain have made great play that they were leaving the EU, but that would facilitate a very comprehensive free trade agreement with the United States. That doesn't look like it's going to happen now. So the reason I'm mentioning this, I think Mr. Trump is quite capable of changing his mind, whether it be with Mr. Johnson or Mr. Modi. And we do have to keep that sort of in some sort of perspective.
That's true. This is very interesting. I hadn't really thought about it in a wider scale of what he's doing and the strategy of it, or if there is a strategy, if he's going to change his mind.
Mr. Trump finds himself in a slightly difficult position because his administration rejects globalization and believes globalization is a project. Some of us believe that globalization is a structural change, just like industrialization. But he takes it, and he believes that he wants to create a world where nation states once again rule the world. The problem is, for Mr. Trump and others like Mr. Modi, that many of the problems that nation states face, such as climate change, such as the global economic problems and security problems, do not respect national borders.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.